our pastor, Reverend Landis.
Pastor Landis.
Fisher.
Amen. 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 We give the good Lord praise and thank him for letting us be in the house of the Lord once again.
Oh, yes.
Amen. It's always a good thing to celebrate Jesus.
Yes, yes, it is.
You know, I was thinking about the days of Joshua. And Joshua had been handed the mantle by Moses, the man of God. Remember that? And when they got to Jericho, it was a fortified city. In other words, it had walls all around it. They had a serious army.
Yes, they did.
They said the width of the wall was enough. You could ride so many horse yokes of oxen side by side all the way around the top of that wall. So it's not like this was a thin wall. This was a serious wall. And God told them, I'm going to give you Jericho into your hand.
Yes, he did.
And there were not many of them. Remember, a lot of them died in the wilderness.
Yeah.
The ones who were over 40 years old. This was only the next generation being led by Joshua, and they had Caleb, who were the only two to survive that previous generation.
Yeah. Yep.
And so you think about that, these two old heads talking to the youngsters, saying, God said he's going to give us the city. And now they said, okay, how's that going to work? And he said, well, you know, he told us go around there and put the priest out front and ride around the walls and blow the trumpets as you go around the wall. And they said, what kind of plan is that? But they were obedient. They went on and they went around the wall. And he said, do this for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, we're going to ride around the wall 7 times blowing the trumpets, which were actually the shofar, which was a ram's horn back in those days. Which was the symbol God had given Abraham. And they went around all those times. Then when they had went around the last time, he said, shout!
Shout!
For the Lord has given us the city. And they shouted, nothing happened. It's like, whoa, okay, you know, that's interesting. Then they probably thinking, all right, that was something else, you know. And then all of a sudden, we know what happened. The story tells us, next thing you know, the walls of Jericho begin to fall. You know, and so God was just letting you know, if you be diligent, be obedient to my word, and do what I tell you, say, tell you, don't have to make no sense to you. Because who would ever think blowing some horns, riding around, is going to do anything? You know? But just praise me as you go around. When you go through whatever you're doing, just give me praise. And I'm going to take care of whatever it is that's in your way. No matter how big and cumbersome it may seem, I can move it out the way. You know? And he went around and he had mercy on a harlot, Rahab, even in the middle of all that. Amen. So many things so good about our God to think about.
He's awesome.
And so we're going to move along. I don't want to prolong the time. That just popped in my head because I was thinking about how ludicrous it must have seemed going around that wall, blowing the trumpet. And the guard said, here they come, here they come, there they go, there they go. Okay. And then they just kept on going. And then they come around again the next day. Here they come again. By the third day, they go, nah, there they go. I forget about them. We ain't thinking about them. And then they're forgetting about them like ain't nothing going to happen. These dudes are crazy. Next thing you know, they probably thought, well, these folks are nuts riding around here. And look at it. 7 times today. Okay, all right, you know. And they probably thought nothing would happen.
Hit the resonant frequency.
See what I'm saying? You know how you get used to something after it keeps on going on and on, and you don't think much of it. You say, eh, that ain't nothing. And so they went around that 7th time, and then God said, okay, they did what I said. Boom! And the walls began to tumble down. So that just lets you know, just trust God in all of your endeavors. Amen. We're going to, he said he will do exceeding and abundantly beyond all you can ask or think. Amen. So today we have a special message. God put this on my heart because I think we need to be encouraged. I want to say again, I do thank everyone for all of your love offerings, things you showed, appreciation. As we had written there in the bulletin, I thank God for my wife, who is always considerate enough to remember to put those kind of things in the bulletin. And she goes through and finds good stuff for the word for the day, and she plugs all that in, and it's such a blessing that she remembers and takes the time to do it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I just thank God for her, and I ask you continue to pray for us as we take up this next round. Now, what I had said, and I just want to add this before we have a reading of the Old and New Testament, and we'll try to be as brief as possible. I know we're kind of late today again, but when I considered where we were after we had the anniversary and the church was on its 49th year, and we spent the last year, which was the seventh set of seven, with you, that last year of rest, that this next year is Jubilee. Because you know in the Bible it says that every seventh year you rest. And then on the seventh set of 7 years, it's a Jubilee, which is a special celebration for God. You know, where you dedicate everything to God. God said there'll be no hard labor or none of that during that time of Jubilee. You're already resting in that seventh year. And now you got to rest another year and celebrate God for another year. You know what I said? I said, I do not want to be at Lambert Field. And it's time to have God's Jubilee at St. Timothy. So I'm going to put that aside before that year rolls in, which will be next year, so that I'm free and available for whatever God is planning for St. Timothy in this coming year. So we are entering into Jubilee. Now I mentioned that, and I don't know how serious you think about that. And you know what else we talked about? All those blood moons and all that stuff. That happened just before this 49th year, time of rest, move into Jubilee. So it's ready. It was for us. God did it for you. It's time for us to move into a new dimension. Amen. I don't know what it meant. It meant something for Israel. And everything we do has something to do with Israel. As you keep, we see, I keep reminding you that Jesus told us to keep an eye on Israel. And we are, and we're seeing apostasy setting in. We're seeing everything God said setting in. But there's something for us to do in this time of Jubilee to celebrate the gospel of Christ. And so I want to be available for that. That was my main reasoning. And I said, you know, even if I, just because I don't work for you all, that doesn't mean I don't have to work. I got work to do, but it's going to be the Lord's work. Amen. From henceforth. And so that's what was in my heart. I just wanted you to know what was in my heart. My wife and I have been praying on this and talking about it for some time. In fact, when we first got together 7 years ago, 7 years for us, so we have a year of rest here too on our seventh year. And we had said at some point when the nest is empty, which is pretty well empty, and that we can move into some deeper things with the Lord. And so we had planned on that. And so that's why we're at the place where we are now. And we're looking for God's great blessing. Now, it may not seem like, you know, you can go around and do all those things God said, and he's going to move right at the right time, and boom, just like those walls went down, God can bring in whatever he wants, and it'll come in like a flood, and you won't even know what happened. Amen. So we're looking forward to that. And I just wanted to seed your mind with that. So today, this message came into mind because we've been looking at some different things in times past. We took a look at a few things this past few messages, and we're talking about some things concerning God and where we stand with the Lord. And so I wanted to talk today just a little bit from these passages here. I'm going to go ahead and ask the deacons to read Psalm number 71, verses 1 through 14 from the Old Testament, and then also Hebrews from the New Testament, chapter 13. And of course, these are some places that we can draw some strength as we look at this message today. Amen. So give them your undivided attention at this time. Amen.
In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteousness and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. Mm. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more.
Amen. The old covenant to the people of God. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. And for the New Testament,
let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Mm-hmm. Remember them that are in bond, as bond with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremonger and adulterer God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of the conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And I want to just take a few minutes here today to talk about fixed on the stability of God.
Amen.
Amen. Fixed on the stability of God. Let us pray. Everlasting God, we praise you, we bless you, oh God, we exalt your name. And Father, we just thank you for letting us be here today, God. We thank you that you have a new season prepared for us, Lord, and that you are ushering us into that season, Father. We pray that you make us all ready to fall into the correct place that you have set for us, oh God, that you prepare every heart, every mind, every life, every venture, everything that you have set up, oh God, that we might enter into it, that we might just go in and possess it, oh God.
Yes.
We thank you, God, for favor and mercy. We thank you that your word is higher than the heavens and the earth, oh God. And you said the heavens and the earth will pass away, but your word would never pass away. And so, Father, we pray you give us the heart to treasure your word in the way that you treasure your word, oh God, so that we might have the right instruction and move forward with the authority of the word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh God, we just thank you, we bless you, we give you praise. We pray that everyone here will be strengthened in their spirit. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Help us, God, to just focus and meditate on your stability, the fact that you are God all by yourself, and that you have not been moved at any time, oh God, that there is nothing that can move you from where you are, Lord, that you are the highest, and in you we live and move and have our being, oh God. And all the governments of the world are within your control, oh God. And so help us to realize that we serve the true King, the exalted one above every kingdom and every person, oh God, on this planet. No matter how much power you have allowed them to have, God, your power is greater. So help us to understand where that places us as being your children, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's in his name that we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We want to just thank God for this whole series of messages, and thank him for you who are here. The ones of you who are consistent, you get fed on a level that you need, and it really is going to really bless you when it's all done, because you've been here for the whole thing. You have heard all these messages that God has sent.
Yes.
And so today we're talking about fixed on the stability of God. Now that ought to be a powerful thing in your life.
Yes, it is.
The Bible says God is omnipresent. I mean, he's everywhere.
Yes.
All, he doesn't have to go anywhere. God is there already. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, he's there.
He's there.
See, like the psalmist said, if I go into hell, in the deepest hell, you are there. No matter where I go, I can't get away from you. You are everywhere.
Yes.
You know, if I ascend into the heavens, you are there.
Yes.
So no matter where I'm at, you are there. So it says, and that should be a thing that makes you content. You shouldn't be afraid of that.
Yes.
You know, the fact that God is there means he's on your side. He has chosen you. He has favored you.
Yeah.
And I am there for you when you need me.
Yeah.
When you need me, I'm right there. Mm-hmm. You know, so he is stable. He is fixed.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't change. That's what we call the doctrine of immutability. God is immutable.
Yes.
In other words, he cannot change. He does not change. There's nothing to change.
Right.
Why? Because he is beyond perfect. He is complete and full.
Yeah.
Nothing to change. Nothing to improve.
Yeah.
He cannot be denigrated because he is God.
Yes.
He can't be lifted up any higher because he's the highest. See what I'm saying? And so you should understand these things when you think about God. He is stable.
Yes.
Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord your God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Right.
See, otherwise, if it wasn't for me, I would have to consume you because I'm a God of righteousness, and you folks are not very righteous.
Right.
Is what's implied there in Malachi chapter 3. But I won't consume you because I said I wouldn't.
Thank you, Lord.
See? And so when God said something, you can hang your hat on it.
Yes, you can.
He is not going to take it back. He cannot take it back. Did you know that?
Okay.
The Bible says God cannot lie.
He's not a man.
It's impossible. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. It says over in the book of Numbers.
Yes,
you see,
Lord.
In Hebrews 6:18 says God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Titus 1:2. I think 1:1 and 2 there if you read that in Titus. So God can't lie. If he said it, that's it.
That's it.
You can count on it.
Right.
So that's a good thing because God is stable.
Yeah.
You know what? We live in a world that's fluctuating constantly.
Yes, we do.
Vacillating back and forth. We don't know. Today this is okay. Tomorrow it's not. Back and forth. Okay, over here we're going to do this. Over there we're not. We're going to make a law over here. We're going to rescind it over there. Or we're going to amend it over here. Or blah, blah, blah. And we change constantly. We live in a constantly changing world.
Yes.
But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, this has always been the case. So every generation of people have had to have some stance on where do you stand in your understanding of the stability of God.
Yeah.
You know, you either deny God like some people do, and God will allow you to do that.
Yeah.
Or you trust God.
Right.
And that's the only thing you can do is either trust him or deny him.
Right.
You see, Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me.
Yes.
If you're not gathering with me, you're scattering, running people away from me.
Yes.
So you're doing one or the other, no matter who you are and where you are. So living in an ever-changing world as we do can cause many fluctuations in our overall way of viewing the world, and especially the worldview which we possess that tends to govern how we feel about all things in life. There's stuff that kind of picks how you feel, and we live in a world where people think, oh, everybody's opinion is equal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess it is as an opinion. You can think whatever you want. You know, that doesn't mean it's okay or that it's right or that it honors God just because you think it.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean that you're going to persevere if you're thinking the wrong thing.
That's right.
You see, but God is what the one we are talking about. We want to look at what did he say. And God has communicated to us everything that we need for life and godliness. Peter says, it's been granted unto you everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called you to glory. He called you to glory. God has given us his word. And we don't have to wonder and go all around wondering, you know, do we have everything from God? People, I hear people on the radio all the time. What about the book of so-and-so? And what about this, that, or the other? And you know, I always hear that. And I cringe to think about some of the answers I hear people give. The fact is, God is easy for him to give us his word. You know, and the stuff that we say is his word has been sifted through very careful testing by the church throughout the generations.
Yes.
You know, it's not anything that just changes or just loose and all that. But if you don't know what the word says, it's easy for you to get swayed into thinking that you're missing something.
Yes, it is.
And I like people to know God is stable and he's not changing. He's not flopping around and you can trust him.
He's not the author.
If he said it, he is not the author of confusion. Absolutely not. That's what the Psalm psalmist said here. Look at this, Psalm 71 and 1. He says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion.
Yes.
Why? Because you are not the author of confusion. You're not trying to trick anybody.
My Lord.
God said exactly what he meant, and he published it in the world. It's the biggest, this is the best seller in the world. Always has been. It was the first thing printed on the Gutenberg press as far as printed material. And it's the best seller. They have to take it out and don't count it so somebody else can have a crack at getting the best seller. Because every year there are more copies of God's word sold than anything on earth. You know, it's amazing how blind a lot of people are with how many copies of the word are sold on the earth. But the psalmist says, Lord, I trust you. So don't ever let me be put into confusion. Help me have my mind stabilized on you. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Not my righteousness. Thy righteousness. God is the only one who is righteous.
The only one.
And he shares his righteousness with the ones who trust him.
Amen.
That's why Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. The psalmist knew this way before that was written in the New Testament. He says here, deliver me in thy righteousness. See that?
Right.
In his righteousness. That's the place where you are. You dwell in his righteousness if you trust him, and cause me to escape. See, God is going to cause you to escape whatever it is that's trying to afflict you. Incline thine ear to me. That means hear my prayers, God, and save me. Somebody might be plotting against you.
Yep.
But because you're in his righteousness and you have the privilege of prayer, you can call on him and he will cause you to escape whatever it is, and he can save you out of the midst of trouble. See that? Be thou my strong habitation. Why? Because you're stable. And if I'm in your righteousness, I don't have to worry. I cannot be moved.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? Because you cannot be moved.
Right.
And notice that. It doesn't mean you won't go through affliction.
That's right.
And that people with a differing opinion won't try to push you into an area that of confusion or doubt or something like that. But because I know my God is stable and I'm in him, then I know I can press on in his name.
Yeah.
See, and I have a privilege to call on him when I get weak along the way. Like if I don't think I can make it, Lord God, help me, like the psalmist is saying here. Keep in mind, another thing about this is the psalms are songs. This was sang.
Yes.
We sing the praises of the Lord.
Yes.
You know, and we call upon his holy name in order to stay focused on who God is. That's being fixed on the stability of God. Deliver me, he goes on to say. Oh my God, in verse number 4, he said, well, let's back up here. I missed the B part here. That I may continually, notice this, verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. In other words, I always need to come to you.
Yes.
You know, what do we think about when you think about a resort? What is that?
Comfort.
It's a place you go for vacation.
Right.
I'm going to the resort to just hang out. See, so if God is my refuge and my resort, I'm going to go in you and just rest. See that? He says here, I may continually resort. See, thou hast given me commandment to save me. That's because you said it. That's the only reason I can count on it. For thou art my rock and my fortress. See, in other words, I'm not going to be easily moved. I'm built on the rock. God is my fortress. The righteous run in and are safe. The Proverbs writer said, because he is a strong tower.
Yes, he is.
See, and going on, he says here, moving on, this is all good. We don't have time to dwell too long. Deliver me, oh my God, out of the hand of the wicked.
Yes.
And out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. That's people who don't believe there is a God.
Right.
They're trying to afflict you some kind of way or another.
Yes.
See that? For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth.
Yes.
You were protecting me when I wasn't really even thinking about you. Bringing me up, all that I went through. You had. Notice how he goes on to say that. I'm going to leave it alone. Let the text speak for itself. He says here, by thee have I been holding up from the womb.
Yes.
Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Right, because you were protecting me when I wasn't even strong enough mentally to think about you.
Glory, hallelujah.
You see that?
Right.
And he says, I am as a wonder unto many. A lot of people wonder, how did you ever get saved? But thou art my strong refuge.
Yeah.
Let Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. So we need to be thinking, meditating in the Lord, day and night, like that psalm that Brother Michael read at the beginning of the service. I'm going to meditate in your law day and night. See, so I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Still moving on in my old age. Don't give up on me now, Lord. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. If I'm starting to move slow, Lord. Got a few aches and pains, oh God. But keep me moving forward. Keep me on the battlefield. Let me stay faithful on down through the years. For mine enemies speak against me. And they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him. Let's just take advantage of them because they done got old and now I'm going to take advantage. No, you're not. Because I got a resort I can go run to. I got a rock that I'm standing on. I'm in a strong tower. And the righteous have run in and are safe. And oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are my adversaries to my soul. And let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise you even more and more. I'm just going to crank up the praise even more. No matter what they do, no matter how they try to afflict me. Why? Because God is stable. He ain't moving. He ain't fluctuating. He don't care how many evil folks there are and wicked people coming against you. You know what? He's been putting up with foolishness a long time. It's amazing how much he can take. All the way from Adam and all of his sons and daughters. He's been putting up with folks, broken people who are in sin and iniquity. He's trying to show you I love you and I'm trying to bring you through.
Yes.
I'm a stable God. You know what? He loved Adam when he made him. Yeah. God never changed.
Never changed.
The ones who are changed are the ones who are confounded and confused, running around trying to eliminate God. Mm-hmm. It's not that he's trying to eliminate them. Mm-hmm. All he has to do is blow his breath. Then you gone. That's it. You know, but and if he wanted to, he would.
Yeah.
So why does he let a bunch of sinful folks keep running around? You know what he's doing? Giving them time to come to their senses. He's not going to force you to trust him. But he loves you and he doesn't want to judge you. And so he gives you time. That's what he does. He gives people time to understand who he is and to find out that I'm a stable God. I don't fluctuate. There's none like me anywhere. I'm the only one, he's saying. Now notice in the New Testament quickly here, let brotherly love continue. This is for the saved. The ones who are trusting God. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Sometimes we have encounters with people we don't really know. I had some very strange, I heard Michael talking about one this morning. But I've had some encounters with somebody and I thought, boy, you know, this is pretty strange. Here, I picked up a guy who was in the bathroom at a filling station. The lady was about to call the police. She said he went in there about 20 minutes ago and he's been in there and I don't know what he's doing in there. Strange man, looked like a homeless man. I said, don't call the police, let me see who's in there. And I go knock on the door and it's an old man in there. He's all bent over, looked like his nose was missing. He looked pretty bad. I said, well, what's going on with you, brother? You need some help? Can I get you some food? He said, well, just give me a ride. I said, okay, fine, come on out. And he came on out, he got in the car. He said, to drop him off at the post office in St. Charles. I said, okay, that's strange. And I said, would you like something to eat? Can we stop and get you something to eat? No, I'm okay, just take me on out there. And I don't know what was on his mind, but it was very weird. I dropped him off. He got out, he went in, I went around the building and came back and I know the post office was closed. It was like way after hours. And I looked and he was gone. I said, wow, that was weird. It was just strange, a strange coincidence. But God says you don't ever know who you're dealing with.
That's right.
I could be sending an angel to check you out to see what you're gonna do.
Yeah.
In a situation.
I know that's right.
I don't know to this day what was up with it. I told him about Christ while we were riding on the trip from where he was and until he got to the place where I dropped him off. And I couldn't believe he got away that quick. By the time I pulled out the space and turned around, he was gone. This freaked me out. It was kind of a strange thing. And I don't know yet. That's why I'm telling you this morning when I read this, it hit my memory that this had happened. And so, but you never know. He says, be careful how you entertain strangers. But thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And more than likely, he has in mind the people down in Sodom who didn't know that these were angels of God and they thought they were men and they tried to lust over them.
Amen.
Remember that in the days of Lot in Genesis 19? They thought, oh, those, bring those men down here that you got in there. We want to know them.
Yeah.
You know. And so, but they were entertaining angels unaware. So there are some biblical texts also to support that. Verse 3, remember them that are in bonds, in other words, people who are in jail or afflicted, as bound with them. And them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. See, people are going through changes, and folks are in jail. Sometimes for a good reason, they may have done something, sometimes not. But you should not just automatically put them in a bad category, is what he's saying. Remember them and as though you're bound with them, it says there.
Yes.
Notice that's one thing that kind of pressed me into prison ministry, was reading a verse like that. Now notice what he says here. Marriage is honorable in all.
Mm-hmm.
And the bed undefiled. In other words, that's the place that God made and sanctified for holy sex.
Amen.
Is in the marriage bed.
Yes.
But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So he's letting you know there's two different ways, the world's philosophy and God's philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Let your conversation or your character or your behavior be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. Don't have an inflated desire for stuff. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In other words, if I'm right here, why are you so concerned about so much other stuff?
Yeah.
I'm right here. The Lord is my helper. He's my keeper. He can supply what I need right now on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? He says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So never be fearful about your situation. That's another thing that helps me say goodbye to the airport. I'm stepping on.
Mm-hmm.
I got stuff to do for God.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is my helper. He's my keeper. He's my strength. He has led me, guided me this far. He brought me from the womb. I was already working diligently before I met you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be working diligently when I depart from you.
Mm-hmm.
Sayonara. See you later. And I'm moving on. I got to do God's work.
Amen.
Amen. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. In other words, look at the leadership God sends you.
Yep.
Considering the end of their conversation. Look at how God is blessing the ones who he sent to you to help lead you. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He also does not change.
That's right.
So that's the thing you understand, need to understand. God is stable. He always has been. The psalmist knew it. The New Testament church, the writer to the Hebrews knew it. And that the world is filled with confusion to the point that it can be hard to choose many things in life. Especially when the way that many think is in the world has become more and more man-centered and less God-centered.
Yes.
Man is all about man. Everybody's opinion is all equal to yours, and that's the way they think. They call that politically correct.
Right.
You know, but that's politically correct, but it's biblically wrong. I'm sorry.
That's right.
And I got to tell you what thus saith the Lord. It may be politically correct, but if it's going to send you to hell, what good is it?
That's right. Amen.
You know, you can stack it all up halfway to heaven. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world, lost his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon.
That's right.
So you don't let financial things regulate and run your life. So one amazing fact about God is that he never changes and has always been perfect and wants everyone to become able to rely on his stability even when all else is subject to change. Everything else is changing except God.
Yes.
So that the ones who believe in him can dwell in peace regardless to what things are going on around them.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about what's going on around me.
Yeah.
Don't have nothing to worry about.
My Lord.
I hope that this message is going to give you peace.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Living under the instructions of God by way of his son Jesus Christ as one of his disciples, which is who we are,
mm-hmm.
is the way of peace and also brings repair to everyone who trusts in Jesus
mm-hmm.
and believes that God has raised him from the dead, who is truly the only hiding place for shelter in a lost and a dying world is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about anything else.
That's right.
That is the message from God. He made it very simple, and you and I have been made stewards of that message.
Amen.
So we've been talking about walking in the successful path of grace, being distinguished by true holiness, and how to extinguish the fires of self-righteousness. We have a tendency to allow self-righteousness to become a part of how we do stuff.
Yes, we do.
And not so much necessarily us in this room, but the church has a tendency to do that.
Yeah.
I heard stuff like, well, the Pope is trying to, he's going to grant forgiveness to those who had abortions. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. The Pope? Mm-hmm. How about Jesus?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jesus has always been granting forgiveness to those who had abortions. So when did that change? Stuff like that. Your mind needs to be stable on what God said.
Yeah.
No matter what you hear about people who think they have authority that they don't have.
Right.
Beyond the scripture,
amen.
There is no authority.
There's no authority.
And I don't say that as a rebellious statement, but it's a fact. The scripture is true.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that that's where you want to trust right there in the Lord. It should give you stability. It should give you peace.
Yes.
To let you know that you're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the wrong track, it'll say, get off that track.
Yes.
And get back on this track.
Mm-hmm.
God always says, I'll come out from the 99 and get that one that strays away and bring you back. I want you back in the fold.
And they rejoice in heaven.
There you go. And angels rejoice at the repentance of one sinner.
What?
See? And so that's where we are. And I don't know that we have any today, but I'm just going to offer for those who may need to come for any reason. If you're not saved, by all means, come forward.
Mm-hmm.
We want to give you the opportunity to be saved if you're here today. And if you have not been baptized and you would like to be baptized, we'd like to offer that, because the Lord said to preach this gospel and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The teaching goes on and on and on and on all the time.
Never stops.
Salvation just happens at a moment in time when you come to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and believe that He alone is able to save you and that God raised Him from the dead. And the reason for that is He wants you to know that I have the solution to death. Death is one of the most foreboding thoughts that any of us have. You know, and the only way you get over it, Jesus said, I take away the fear of death, because He has power over him who had the fear of death, which was the devil. So I vanquished Satan. I came and got on that cross, allowed him to mutilate me, died, got out of the grave, said, all power is given to me.
All power.
See? So there's nothing worse. That's the end of all things as far as on the human life. But I defeated the grave.
Yes.
And I'm discharging you to go in all the world and teach all the nations. Let them know the power of death has been swallowed up in victory.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even have to worry about death.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is less than death, isn't it, in life?
Mm-hmm.
So why should I worry about anything else? The worst thing I could worry about would be death, but I don't have to worry about that because my Savior defeated death.
Amen.
He's the only one who defeated death.
Amen.
So he got up out of the grave. Guess what that means?
Mm-hmm.
It means you will get up out of the grave. And you'll get up with victory. You won't get up with condemnation and shame.
That's right.
Everyone gets out of the grave. Did you know that?
That's right.
Why? Because God never made man to destroy him and put him in a grave. Man chose to be destroyed and put in a grave. But He came to show you that I have victory even over the grave and even over death, which is the wages for sin. Jesus received the wages for sin, took it upon Himself, and defeated it. He got paid the wages for sin. He defeated the wages. Got up and said, I'm going to give this to whoever believes in me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So you and I should have a peace. That's why the Bible says this, and I'm going to shut my mouth. No, we're over time. He says, I'm giving you a peace that passeth all understanding. You know, it's overwhelming, the peace that God gives you. And that songwriter said, oh, what peace we often forbear. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room.